You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Thursday, January 12th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Tony Zincana as well. We go until 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Fantasy Best Friends Forever comes your way then. What's going on, Scotty? Good morning, my man.
Good morning. Very interesting night in the association. Good call by Tony Zincana again yesterday, using Derrick Rose, who had a really good game, even though the Knicks lost another heartbreaker to the Sixers last night as Porzingis shot an air ball and they lost in the last second. And whether you use Westbrook or Harden last night, you got a good return, and DeAndre Jordan had 20 rebounds. You know, it seems like the work with Kevin Garnett is really paying off, as he has now 6 20 rebound games this season.
So that's where I'm going to actually disagree with you, Scotty. You didn't get a great return from James Harden and Russell Westbrook last night. You didn't get five times value, at least on FanDuel.
Well, you got a triple-double from Westbrook.
But that wasn't five times.
I guess great is not what I wanted to say. They were comparable returns. I'm sorry.
100%. Yeah. Right. That is
not
for
great.
Right. So that's for sure. You got your triple-double. You got 50-plus points, right? Like, they're comparable. They're basically equal, 100%. But, Tony, these guys are priced so freaking highly that they need to even be better to give you what you're paying for.
Not true last night, though. Not true. Because remember, when there's only four or five games, right?
Yeah, context.
If you don't have a 70-point guy, you ain't going to win.
That's true. Maybe I'm just grumpy because I lost and I played both Russell Westbrook and James Harden last night.
And you lost.
Well, that's probably...
What would the rest of your roster look like?
How did you get... Oh, on FanDuel, you played... FanDuel's a lot easier as far as getting a lot of these players in.
Right.
How much salary did you have? Like, I'm looking at last night, a winning team in one of the tournaments I participated in.
Right.
They didn't have either of the players in. They put a 333, right?
Oh, my goodness,
Consistently, he had 40-point guys across the board. So he had John Wall, Bradley Beal, Jay Crowder, Otto Porter, Al Horford, Isaiah Thomas. So he played the whole Celtics
stack, yeah.
The whole Celtics get with Kyle Quinn being the only difference maker. Kyle Quinn was 0.4 owned, and he put up 41 fantasy points last night.
Yeah, and he survived Wall, too, who scored like a season-low 9 points. He's going to get an MRI today. And very interesting, him and Jay Crowder after the game. Jay Crowder touched his nose after the game. The two were having words, and then... Then he shoved Jay Crowder, and there was almost a melee after a very physical game.
But that's one of the things we talk about all the time, is that when we talk about five times the salary, people are ridiculous if you use only that, because a guy that's $3,000, right?
Yeah.
So the minimum salary. So if he puts up a 15, that's not equal to James Harden and Russell Westbrook putting up a 65.
Sure, of course not. Oh, it just to me, I use it just as a base, essentially. And I was listening to the Line of Lock show with you and Benny, Tony, last night, and I had my lineup set at 655, and you guys were like, you know what? We're really nervous about this Blazers-Cavs game. So like, be really cautious with it. So I had Kyrie Irving in, I had Kevin Love in, and I had Al-Farouq Aminu in, right? Those were my guys. So at the last second, I took all these guys out. That's when I put Westbrook in, and I saw at 650 that Eric Gordon was ruled out, so I went with my gut. I put Corey Brewer in, I put Montrezl Harrell in, and I said, listen, Brewer's a minimum price. I don't need that much, and I'm going to be good.
Yeah.
And Russell Westbrook only was 7% owned in my pool. I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm in a really good spot. I wound up missing cashing by 6 points. You know, I put up a 289. Which isn't a bad score.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't
enough.
The guy that really killed me more than anybody, like, I could survive Brewer getting close to five times value. Marcus Smart was bad last night, but 70% of my pool had him.
Yeah.
The one that really killed me more than anybody else was Gorgui Dieng last night.
Yeah, he's had a couple games in a row. Now, it's so funny. Benny liked him last night.
Yeah, I know. I talked to him. That's why.
Kyle Anthony Towns and him, to me, never go off in the same.
Yeah, you told me that two days ago. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a great matchup for Kyle Anthony Towns. So right. I didn't go on that one. But it was interesting because if you had those other guys in, you wouldn't have won. They played terrible last night. And it was a game that we didn't know was going to play. There was a state emergency in Portland. That's why we were like, you know what? Get these guys out of the lineup just in case. And I talked about this on DFS today. And you saw the Portland Trailblazers come in the afternoon there. Aminio had a tough game. He was hitting the front of the rim on every one of his shots.
He's
Kyrie
exhausted.
Irving was terrible last night. And I actually took Kevin Love out for Joel Embiid just because of that information. It paid off for me because of that snow situation there. So sometimes it's lucky to get a break like that.
Yeah, you... good break. It was a good job by you, right? It's not just a break. It was good analysis in a way, because not only was it a blizzard there, but these guys all got in so late. And like you just said, Aminu kept hitting the front of the rim. And if that keeps happening, it's just tired legs. He's tired. He's exhausted. And that is a sign. Kevin Love went down last night, came back. Wasn't a great night there. So it basically, from the sounds of it, I would have lost no matter what I did.
Kyrie Irving with only 11 points, his second disappointing game in a row.
Yeah, but like we were saying, you know, it's a lot of it's circumstance,
right?
Yeah,
it's circumstance, yeah.
So... you know,
that was like the one guy that you got out of your lineup, Greg. You might have felt good about.
Well, I got him out. I mean, basically all the guys I got out of my lineup, I felt good about. I just didn't replace them with the right guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was 6 points away. I didn't put up a bad score. And my buddy, Tony, who listens to you guys every day, we sit and we like to make lineups together because it's fun, right? That's why we do this thing. It's fun. I talk to you about it. I talk to Benny about it. I talk to him about it. And we made this lineup, and we eventually went with the same lineup, and we both put this 289 spot up. We barely missed cashing. And he's addicted to this thing because it's so much fun. And after listening to you guys, lineup's locked at 7. At like 7:30, he texted me. I just ended a free lineup in at 8 o'clock. I couldn't help myself. And of course, that puts up the, that puts up the 309. He doesn't do any research. He just puts it in. That puts up the 309 spot. Yeah. And he goes, why do I do all this research all day? I made a lineup in 5 minutes, and it puts up over 300.
Yeah. So I'll give you. I can talk about this. So I play at 7 o'clock. Like you put in your lineups for all the tournaments, right? And then I'm watching the games. And then like say the 10:30 games are coming on. So I'll put a lineup with just the 10:30 game.
Right.
And I'll put 9 o'clock. But you don't have to. You can do it in 5 minutes because you know what? You did research for the whole day.
It's true.
So you can. You already know the players you like, the players you don't like, and you can fire them in. And I gotta tell you. I've done really good on the smaller slates, like when it's the 2-3 games, which I hate to tell you the truth, but realistically, if I went and charted how I've done, I'm going to find I've been more successful there. Like, I've won a lot of these 10-30, you know, 3 or 4 game tournaments.
Yeah, right. You said you tripled last night, right? And although you had like a weird situation where you had like no minutes left.
Oh, so I didn't have anyone in the 10:30 games, right? So I was telling people, I wasn't feeling good. For like 2 weeks, I've been asleep. I've been crazy. Like, I can't sleep at night. And last night at 7 o'clock when the show was over, I just had headaches and everything, so I went to bed. And I woke up. The first thing I did, this will tell you how crazy you are when you play DFS. First thing I did, I wake up, I roll over, I get my phone, and I look at DraftKings. Like, that's the first thing I did when I decided I woke up.
Right.
And I check contest winnings, $450. All right, you know, this ain't bad, right? Because I only put 3 tournaments in, and I said $450. All right, I'll take that. But then I look, I go, I got no minutes remaining. So it's going to slowly decline, and I'm watching the opposite of the Jerry Lewis telethon. I'm watching my dollar figure go down each as it goes, and I'm watching the game on ESPN, which I have no guys in, just hoping that no one goes off, and it was crazy. But I won 3 times in my investment last night, and it's been a very, very good 2 weeks for the NBA where it's been there. And, I love baseball, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to be sad when the NBA season ends. I really think it gives people that do the work and the research the greatest chance to win because of the predictability of it all.
You say the same thing, Tony, honestly, that I woke up this morning, my alarm goes off, and for whatever reason, I didn't sleep great last night. I was up every couple hours. I don't really know why. But when I officially got up this morning, my alarm goes off. The first thing I did was, and I knew it. Like, I knew. I looked at my score. I had J.J. Redick in the late games, and that was it. And
he played well.
He played very well. That's why he made it close. And I look at my phone. I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. And I see I lost. I'm like,
yeah.
And, but it's literally, well, Tony, yeah, I roll over and look at it.
You talk about it. You know, you think about that on your walk to work. How was your walk to work today, you know, knowing all that?
You know what? It's actually very funny. My buddy called me this morning. He at his job, he has to get there at 6 a.m.
Right.
So he looks forward to when I'm walking to work at like 6:30. So he looks forward to that. He called me like four times to tell me a big rumor, Tony, that Samoa Joe is going to be in the Royal Rumble, and he was all excited. So like my walk this morning was very pleasant that he was giving me wrestling rumors.
So you were thinking about wrestling instead of Daily
because I was already upset. Yeah. In the shower.
That's good. That's good.
Agreed.
Yeah.
In the shower, I was upset about my Daily NBA, but on the walk, I was okay.
You talked about how Dang didn't do it last night, but you know, Wiggins really stepped up last night from Minnesota as they upset the Rockets.
Wiggins, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
On like, the show. LaVine, when he's
LaVine
out,
was out,
Wiggins,
yeah.
His usage rate goes up 7.5%. So it was a play where that we basically, when we looked at those numbers, it made Wiggins a guy you had to play last night.
Yeah, it's you know, he was 11-for-20 from the field, and then Shabazz Muhammad doing it off the bench again, 20 points
and
7 rebounds.
Yeah, me and
Benny
disagreed on that. I loved Muhammad last night.
Which one did you have?
He liked Bajelica a lot, and I liked Muhammad.
You liked Muhammad better. You were on target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, tonight he'll get one right, and how that works.
It happens. It's like Minnesota, though, with the upset of the Rockets last night. The Rockets are now 9-1 in back-to-backs, though.
Too last night with the James Harden, the back-to-backs, and we went through all the games that he had played. This guy's a monster. He just continues to just put up big numbers together. And Russell Westbrook, of course, is on a tear. Russell Westbrook, it's funny, ESPN last night, he said that we talk too much about the triple-doubles. I think he's trying to downplay how good he's playing right now.
One.
It's funny.
He's 18
like,
now.
I feel like it was my fault that that Benny was all on Bielitsa last night. Because he walked in at 11:30 and go, I got the guy for you. I got the guy for you. And he's talking about it. He's like, Nemanja Bjelica, that's the guy. And he's like, I think you're being crazy, man. And I just put
being
this
too
in,
cute.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He goes, I just put it in his head. And of course, I went with freaking Corey Brewer. I mean, 8-7 is not terrible. But the steal, man. I should have listened to you with Shabazz Muhammad. That was where I messed up.
And then I was shocked, though, to see Brandon Rush.
You're right, Shabazz. Is this Shabazz or Shabazz?
Well, I just said Shabazz a minute ago. You said Shabazz, and now you just said Shabazz.
Oh, I think it is Shabazz, to be honest with you. I think it's Shabazz Muhammad, but whatever.
And then Brandon Rush ends up in the starting line.
Right, Brandon frickin' Rush. Neither Muhammad, Bielitsa. It's Brandon frickin' Rush. Amazing.
Yeah, that was...
People thought Chris Dunn could be in the lineup, right, Tone?
Yeah, and we talked about Chris Dunn, and I actually did a little bit of math based on... Chris Dunn, the way he's played this year, he would have needed like 28 points to get a decent number. 28 minutes, I mean, to get a decent number.
I didn't
see him get 20. Yeah, I didn't think he was going to get 28 points. So I wasn't in on the Chris Dunn situation.
And then we got an interesting day today. Tony was talking about on the DFS show before. We got a 3 o'clock game today.
Why do we have a 3 o'clock game?
Well, that's what I thank God for Mike Florio. I was like, is there a holiday I don't know about? They're playing a game in the middle of the week in London.
Really?
Yep.
Who is there?
Yeah.
Who is this?
It's the Indiana Pacers.
All right.
And I forget who they're playing now. Oh, I can't believe I forgot who it was.
That's all I look at.
The Pacers.
Pacers and Denver.
The Denver.
You
Nuggets
were saying don't go too heavy on that game unless you're in a head-to-head, you were saying.
How crazy to have to be, right?
Yeah.
To put an hour lineup 4.5 hours early.
So great.
The game's on NBA TV. So if you want to watch the game, I could see putting one lineup in. But like that Brooklyn game, you were going to want to hit, right?
Yep.
Pelicans game.
And we're not going to know Anthony Davis.
You don't know the status of Anthony Davis. Trevor Booker, not sure.
Yep.
Yeah. So you really can't be doing that. You really can't. Yeah. You really need to play DFS today. Play golf at noon.
Yeah, there you go.
It seems like Davis would be a chalk play if it wasn't for the injury, of course. But, you know, with the history, you just don't know. They said it wasn't serious after the game the other night, but you just don't know.
It's two easy plays tonight that I think every lineup should have. and it's Kawhi Leonard against the Lakers and Anthony Davis versus the Pelicans. And you could fit them both in.
Yeah.
And then go from there.
Is Jimmy Butler going to be back against the Knicks?
No, Jimmy Butler's already been ruled out for tonight.
Right. What about Dwayne Wade?
Dwayne Wade's going to be a chalky play tonight, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, he's going to be definitely in everybody's lineups. And I guess the interesting part is to see if Rajon Rondo goes back to the doghouse or if he gets any playing time tonight.
Because he played well, obviously, last night. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go over more of last night's games more in depth. We'll take a look at who did well, who did not do well. We'll break down the Knicks' heartbreak, of course, Scotty. Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's 2 in 2 weeks.
That one.
But they've lost 11 of their last 12.
That one was so frustrating.
Yeah.
I watched that entire game, and, like, they had no business losing that game. Like, no, I could not believe.
Carmelo had, like, 15 in the third quarter, too.
And he's going to tell you, like,
his
they stopped going to him.
Great.
Because, like, he literally was, like, basically, what the F? That was,
he said it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
You saw him, like, immediately following the McConnell shot going in, he literally just says, F me. That's what, that was a direct quote.
Yeah.
It was crazy. That was ridiculous. We'll talk about that. Talk about more of the NBA games. We'll try to make a lineup a little bit later on, but we'll do some more basketball. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We welcome in the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
Hey, what's the deal?
I'm sorry, man. Corey's a little upset right now. His license is missing. And
it's a disaster.
It's a disaster. You don't want to lose it.
It's very frustrating.
It sucks.
Yes, it is. Extremely frustrating.
Yeah, so you got to go through a process to get it back.
Yeah, and you can't.
Can't do anything.
Yeah,
until you, and then it takes over your brain space.
Bottomless night? Not an idea?
I can do that without
you. Maybe you might need to.
But I know the people.
Okay, so that's good. Otherwise, you get a bottomless night, right?
It's just good. Like...
No, it's another thing.
It's hard, though.
That's more, a little bit more important.
You do something as simple as go to Burger King, and they ask you for ID if you use a credit card.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You can't get Burger King. How are you supposed to buy us Burger King? You can get yourself Burger King.
Once they put the food in the bag, though. If they put the food in the bag, they'll probably give it to you.
No, they ask you for your ID before they even finish the order.
It depends on the Burger King, I would say. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about the high-class one over here.
Ugh, that's why I asked you for ID. Yeah. Huh. Well, I'm sorry, buddy.
That's okay.
You got a nice new hat, though.
Thank you.
And, you know, we're not on TV yet, but you can see Corey has his...
That's why I wore it, because I wanted to see how I looked on television.
You are definitely a me guy. You got the Golden State Warriors hat, and it's like almost like a 3D type thing.
Yeah, it's a
like
3D, like gold Golden type Gate. Logo.
Yeah, of the Golden Gate Bridge.
My Western Conference team.
Saying the city.
I don't understand why I'm not allowed to have a Western Conference team. Scott's allowed to have a NFC team.
Well, he doesn't have an AFC team.
I don't. I root for one team.
That's why I agree. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. I thought Jets was
no.
Well, he only roots for the Seahawks. Like,
I'm only root for the Knicks. I'm wearing a Knicks shirt today. I'm loyal.
I don't know about this guy.
I don't support that.
Yeah, he's a golden fake warrior.
I don't support that New York Knickerbocker until they
get rid of Phil Jackson.
Until they get rid of Phil Jackson.
This is what front runners do. They have like a second team. So if the first team isn't doing well, they jump. You know, Frank Stanfield's doing that too. He said he's totally swearing off the Knicks. He became a Philadelphia fan.
It's like, why would he go to Philadelphia, though?
I don't know. Yeah. I think he likes to be.
That's weird.
Well, maybe because the Philadelphia Sixers beat the New York Knicks last night.
How about that?
I
wonder if Frank was happy. You know what I'm saying?
I have to consult with him today.
This is a game. Knicks are up 5 at halftime, 4 after the third, despite Melo having, like, 15 points,
15
he said,
point third
in the
quarter.
Third quarter.
And great call by Tony on using Derrick Rose and Daly yesterday, under 6,000 on DraftKings.
And... in the fourth quarter, it felt like at multiple times last night, the Knicks were going to pull away, the Knicks were going to pull away, the Knicks were going to pull away. And then they didn't pull away, Scott. And then it was closer. And then Robert Covington hits like a massive three. And then all of a sudden, Kristaps Porzingis, wide open in the right corner, hit this and the game is over. And he airballs it.
7 points.
And then Gerald
Henderson.
And then Gerald Henderson comes down the court. He doesn't want to take the shot. Passes it to Ersan Ilyasova. He doesn't want to take the shot. Passes it to TJ McConnell, who does this, like, puts his hand out, extends it, does a spin move, launches up a shot.
Yep.
And it falls. What a disaster, Tony.
I'll tell you, though, it was a pretty exciting ending to the game. Like, I couldn't believe he hit that shot.
Me either.
But didn't you know, being a Knicks fan, that that was going to happen?
Yes.
Like, didn't you have,
you know what?
Yes.
It's funny.
Because
I said, like, 2 times in 2 weeks, I go to a Knicks game, I cover it, and Antetokounmpo, you know, hits the game, the buzzer beater, and they're like, this was the same thing last night. These guys have become like the Jets in shorts.
The Knicks have long been cursed, believe me.
Yeah.
Just as long as the
and
Jets.
And Tony was saying, I don't want to use Porzingis until he shows me something coming back from the injury. He was only 3-10 from the field last night and 1-6 from 3-point range.
Including a massive
7
air
point.
Ball.
Yeah, the massive,
massive
air ball.
Massive air ball at the end yeah. of the game.
If you watch the
hits.
Game, too, he seems like he's not aggressive.
No,
right there
he
right
seems
now.
Out of it, Tony. Yeah. He just seems out of it.
So, I don't know what's going on there if he's not healthy. It looks like, and then that looks like the case. So yeah, I'm definitely on the hold on him until I see something from him. And that's a great matchup for him last night. I'm surprised at how poor he played.
Melo put up 28, as you said, Scotty and Tone. Derrick Rose 25, 4-2. Noah, Courtney Lee both have 7 points off the bench. Kylo Quinn, we said it before, 10 points, 15 rebounds, and 24 minutes of action for Kylo Quinn.
Yes.
For Philadelphia, 21-14 for the process, 27 minutes here. He left this game in the first half. Massive scare for Sixers fans.
Yeah, there was like a wet spot like on the court, and he kind of like slid his ankle.
13-5 Robert Covington and Ersan Ilyasova 16-5 off the bench. Nerlens Noel. Noel's been pretty good off the bench here, Tony. 21 minutes now. He's up to 13-8. As long as he sees these minutes, like, he's been pretty good.
I played him last night in a big tournament,
right?
And it was basically $4,200 was salary on DraftKings.
Okay,
and I'm like, damn, I just need to get 25 minutes from this guy, but it's close on some nights, so his price is going to go up, and I think he's going to become unplayable once he gets to the $5,000 range. They just have too many front court guys, and you look at Embiid, and you look at Okafor. And Noel, and there's just too many guys playing the same position that it's going to be a problem pretty soon. It's actually a problem with Embiid at $8,000, right? You know when he plays each and every night, him and Jokic are two guys he could put in, but you just get scared that they don't get the minutes.
For sure, and it's so interesting that Jahlil Okafor is now legitimately out of the rotation. Coach's decision did not play again here, and unless there's an injury, it seems, to Noel or Embiid, that's where Okafor is going to stay, kind of just locked up here.
That is one of the craziest things,
crazy.
Right? This is a guy that should have been traded when he had some value.
Yep.
And now you think Philadelphia is actually impacting the value that they could have on a trade here.
Well, that was what? They tried to play these guys next to each other. Like, Noel and Embiid played next to each other for a little while. They tried to put Okafor next to one of these two as well, and it just has not worked. It simply has not worked. TJ McConnell is now entrenched as the starter at point guard, 34 minutes compared to Sergio Rodriguez's 14. And the big game winner last night. So
yeah, 7 assists.
Yeah, so the 76ers, we kind of, at least, Tony, for better or worse, we know their rotation right now. Like, the guys that are playing are the guys that are playing. There's no surprises, which makes it nice.
It makes it nice. But I just get concerned there, like the Embiid situation. They're so protective, and I get it with that franchise, because they're not going to win anything this year, and he is the future. And that guy's crazy, man. He's a lot of fun, and he's a guy that you want, I think, as the marquee name in your franchise that struggled for so long. You see him out there doing the whole routine with the cheerleaders after the game yesterday.
Yeah, he was pumped.
The Knicks have lost 9 of 10. And the Sixers surpassed their win total from last year.
Good for them. Good for the Sixers. OKC defeats Memphis last night, 103-95. As Scotty said, Russell Westbrook, another triple-double, his 18th of the year, 24, 12-13. Characteristically, missed like 3 free throws in his last 6 attempts last night to end the game. I might have been watching for DFS purposes. Steven Adams had 12-8. Oladipo, 16 points. And somebody we talked about yesterday, Tony, Enes Kanter. 19 points, 13 rebounds. Here's the difference. This wasn't a 20-minute outing for him. 30 minutes off the bench for Enes Kanter. If you're guaranteeing me 30 minutes of this guy every single week, or every single night, rather, he'll be in my lineup.
Yeah, Tony's been saying that for like about at least 2 weeks right now.
I couldn't believe he played 30 minutes. It's the first time I've seen him, I think, at 30 minutes this season. So if he's going to continue to get in that lineup, like, you got to play him now before that price really skyrockets. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy over the next few games that, depending on the sites, like FanDuel, this, it takes a long time for these salaries to move. Like, you should really consider playing him over the next 3-4 games until that salary starts escalating, because you're going to get a bargain from him from now if he's going to continue to play in 30 minutes and you take advantage of him the next 4 or 5 games.
Yep, 100%. Totally agree with that one, with, of course, Enos Kanter. On the other side of things, from Memphis, I know it was Benny that liked Zach Randolph last night. 14 points, 9 rebounds in 27 minutes compared to Jermichael Green's 4 points, 10 rebounds in 32 minutes.
That's a game I only liked Michael Conley in. Yeah. When you look at that Memphis Grizzlies team, Marc Gasol, I'm surprised at how poor he played. We talked about the centers last night, and there was a lot of great opportunities, and he was one of them. That's the first bad game I remember the guy having this year. He's been absolutely immense.
I think it was a season high 22 points for Conley, and he actually kept him in the game until OKC pulled away.
Yeah, Conley, 22, 6, 3 steals, 4 rebounds. Good all-around game for Conley. I know he was a popular play across the board in quite a few places here. The Minnesota Timberwolves, Scotty said it before, upsets Houston. Their first loss on the second night of a back-to-back. They finally get to 10 losses, 119-105. Andrew Wiggins was the chalkiest of chalk plays last night. He had 28 points, 4 rebounds, a couple of assists. Karl-Anthony Towns, monster game, 23-18. Rubio had 10 points, 17 assists last night.
Yeah, season high for Rubio. And it was an impressive performance by Wiggins. Like Tony was talking about, it's like he was the guy that was going to see an increase in minutes. And he was very aggressive on the offensive end. He had 11 for 20 field goals and really stepped forward.
That piece of crap, yeah. Googie Dang at 10 points and 2 rebounds.
Benny pointed out Rubio actually, he plays really well too without Zach LaVine in the lineup. And he was the guy that he was counting on last night, yeah. And Rubio came up big for him.
Yeah, the ball movement was terrific last night by Minnesota.
So, Bielitsa did 8-7. Shabazz Muhammad, Tony said last night, 20-7. Chris Dunn had 6 points. On the other side, Houston, James Harden put 33, 12, and 6. Did have 6 turnovers. Trevor Ariza, who I liked last night, 16-3. Meh. Ryan Anderson, 18-7. Tony, you talked about it yesterday morning. Heating up a little bit.
Yeah, so what happens is you take Eric Gordon out of that lineup, that's a lot of shots. Yeah. So Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza have the ability to pick up the shots. Ryan Anderson's been the guy picking up the shot attempts there. So it's a good time right now with Gordon out to take advantage of the Ryan Anderson situation.
What's up with Patrick Beverley?
What's up with Patrick Beverley?
He said the wrist is still really hurting.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, he had that wrist injury. For sure. Montrezl Harrell, second out of back-to-back. He only saw 20 minutes. Nene saw 15 as they, I assume, went small here. He had 27 minutes of Corey Brewer. But both centers, Harrell and Nene, not much last night.
You talk about going small. Minnesota out-rebounded Houston 49-23 last night.
There you go. Because Montrezl Harrell, clearly, and Nene not getting the job done at all.
No.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back. Boston, Washington, the Clippers, Orlando, Portland, Cleveland. We break it down next on the Roto Experts. Corey, how you holding up, man?
I'm making it. You know what I'm saying? I'm making it. I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? But, Bradley Beal, 35 points last night.
Yeah, Bradley Beal did have 35 points last night for Washington in the loss to the Boston Celtics, 117-108. Bradley Beal put up 35. John Wall, 9. 10 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals.
They're going to have x-rays today. Well, x-rays were negative. They said they're going to have an MRI today. But then he got into a little bit of a spat with Jay Crowder after the game, too.
4 of 21 from the field was John Wall. Last night.
Oof. Good game for Tony's boy, though. Otto Porter had a 20-point game. He shot 9 for 12 from the field.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, John Wall goes 4 for 21. Someone else got to score.
Somebody's got to pick it up.
And Otto Porter did last night for sure. As you said, 20 points with 6 rebounds and 5 assists, 3 steals. We know the rebounds and assists and steals will be there, Tony. But Otto Porter, 20 points, that is a monster number.
Yeah, he played well. That game was very confusing because Marcin Gortat had a better game than he did against the Boston Celtics front court. And Markieff Morris is a guy that's tough to play because there's no consistency in his game. He didn't have a bad game last night either. But I was surprised Marcin Gortat did not play better than he did last night.
Yeah, Marcin Gortat, until, remember, you were talking about the change they needed to make in Cleveland. Marcin Gortat was my center last night. He put up 10-9, made the switch. Not a terrible game, right, 10-9. You just expected more in a really nice matchup. Markieff Morris, who I really liked last night, he had a good game, 14-9, 4 assists, 2 steals. And then over into the Celtics, 38 points for Isaiah Thomas, 6 rebounds, 5 assists.
20. In the fourth quarter.
20 in a fourth quarter.
It was so irritating that game last night. Like, I grew up a Celtics fan, and to see Floyd Mayweather sitting there, and he was annoying as hell. Isaiah Thomas getting there. Like, do you like when the celebrities come and they sit in the front row and, like, they don't root for the team? He was just hanging out and wants to get on TV. He gets Isaiah's shirt, Isaiah Thomas turn. Like, it was annoying.
That happens a lot at the Knicks. Like, I love The Walking Dead, but Norman Reedus, who plays Daryl, was there the other night, and I'm like, this guy's from Australia. I don't think he's a Knick fan.
Well, what's wrong with people coming to see your ball club play? I saw the Floyd Mayweather thing. I would have been annoyed with that, too. I really do not like Floyd Mayweather.
There's not much to like about him.
I really do not like this guy.
Who do you like more, Floyd Mayweather or Phil Jackson?
Floyd Mayweather. It's tough.
I don't understand. Why do you hate Phil Jackson so much? I've never heard it fully from you.
The whole Phil Jackson thing.
What?
Everything.
Everything. Everything about Phil Jackson annoys me.
Did you hate him before he came to the Knicks?
Yeah.
Why?
Some of the things he said in the past, the way he acts, that, you know, he think the Zen master, Zen knees. Clown. He won with the fastest cars on the track.
Sure.
And now you even the playing field. Larry Brown smacked him. Mm-hmm. And now the playing field is even with the Knickerbockers, and they're a joke.
Yes.
But Floyd Mayweather, he's a clown too. Yeah, I saw Isaiah give him his jersey, whatever. I guess he asked Isaiah. Yeah. If I was Isaiah, somebody would have been like, "You give me $500."
that would be awesome if a player did that during a game.
Like, contact my agent. I'll give you this game worn jersey for $500. I'm not passing my. Oh God, I'm not a. What was he doing in Boston?
He was at Bristol and he drove down to the game. He was doing ESPN stuff yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Bro, does he have somebody? He has nobody. There's nobody he can fight.
No.
Yeah, there's nobody for him to fight. I think his best match. Be Oscar De La Hoya. And you can't drag him out of retirement.
No.
He has no wife for him to fight.
That's why he's retired.
He'll come back for that.
People would pay. He won't get as much money, but people would pay to watch him do the fight over again with
Pacquiao.
The hell's it? Yeah.
That'd be terrible. But yeah, I guess people would pay for it. The Conor McGregor thing is out there. I would actually root for Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. I do not like McGregor either.
Why? He never beat women.
We don't know that.
That's true.
Well, we know Floyd did.
Yeah, we know Floyd did, but we don't know about Conor. Conor has that. Oh, let me not say that.
Yeah, that's not nice.
No, that's not nice.
You shouldn't do that.
But Conor can jump in people's face, too. You think he a tough guy? Well, I guess he is a tough guy.
He's definitely a tough guy.
Yeah. He is a tough guy.
He kicked the shit out of you.
Huh? No.
See, I would mix it up with him. But see, I would have people there. It would be like, hold me back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, hold me back. Like, you better get out of my face, chump. You know what I'm saying?
You're lucky. You're lucky I got people holding me back.
Keep talking that trash, Conor.
Yeah.
I'll whip your ass.
Like, you got like me and Sussman like pushing you away. And
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, he have his people holding him back.
Yeah.
But if he was to break free, you know, then I would sue him.
Yeah. Touch me and I'll sue.
You're saying basically, then I win in the end.
Yeah, then I would win in the long run. I would sue him.
Yes. The Yeah, so the rest of the Celtics line, Jay Crowder, 20-5. He finally puts up a good game again. Al Horford, 16-9.
He jumped in John Wall's face, too.
He sure did. He touched his nose.
Jay Crowder, I was saying that he touched his nose. They were having words, and then Wall slapped him.
Yeah. Marcus Smart, massive disappointment last night, Tony. He had 9 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds. 36 minutes, he was 3 of 11 from the field, did not make a 3-point attempt.
0 for 5.
No, that's not good. That's the problem when you get some of these guys in the NBA that jump shooters that don't drive to the hoop. You're going to get one or two of these clunkers every year.
Yeah, you're going to get it, and you had it here in a bad spot, at least for me.
I'm definitely Amiga. That was a little harsh.
No, not that.
When it comes to your teams, I mean, when it comes to things, like when it comes to your DFS.
I like that. Of course,
I've heard you go overboard.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
You kind of was like, you called somebody a schmuck.
I did.
that was
7 minutes ago.
Yesterday, too.
Greg's kind of reflecting, though, what the daily fantasy basketball player goes through, though, too.
Son of a bitch, Gorky Dang. 105-96, the Clippers defeat the Magic last night. Clippers were led by my man, J.J. Redick, 22-6-5. See, I like J.J.
Good play.
18-7-6, 4 assists for CP3.
I talk about who I like to watch in the NBA. Chris Paul is a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, he's the best point guard in the NBA.
Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't turn the ball over, which is wonderful, too.
He had 5 turnovers last night.
No, I'm saying usually. Usually. You know, he had won the game before.
Yeah.
But to me, that story was DeAndre Jordan last night. He had 20 rebounds, 8 on the offensive glass. You know, they're talking about how Kevin Garnett is working with him and tutoring him as a team consultant and how much it's paying off. This was his 6th 20th rebound game of the season.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And DeAndre Jordan doing a nice job here without Blake Griffin.
I don't like him either.
There's a lot of NBA players making some money, former NBA players on the side for doing nothing. Like Kevin Garnett's working with DeAndre Jordan. You know, what is he teaching him? He still can't shoot free throws. He still has no offensive game.
Yeah.
Yet he's collecting a paycheck. Steve Nash is actually getting paid to tutor Stephen Curry.
I guess it's like in baseball when you get these guys that are like spring training instructors.
Right. So like, I totally with you, Tony. Like, I think, what is Kevin Garnett doing? Right?
He's getting a lot of credit out there from the press for helping this guy out. That's what I've been reading.
Well, because it's Doc Rivers taking care of an old player.
Yeah, that's it. He's making sure.
That's exactly what it is. It's like Paul Pierce's employee.
I don't have a problem with that.
Why? What, you think Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce need money?
But if Doc want to do him a favor and keep him on the payroll, I don't have a problem with that.
All right. I don't really care.
Are you trying to drain the swamp or something?
Well, at least one of us has to.
They could have gave the money to Mrs. Sterling. She could do a lot of good with it.
Mrs. Sterling deserves it. You're right.
Hey, you speaking of players that charge, you know how much Hakeem Olajuwon charged his big man?
Oh, shitload of money.
$100,000.
And that's not for like people like you and me. I mean, that's for
if you want to send
Joel Embiid goes down there,
yeah,
he would cut $100,000 to train with him for a week, right?
To go train with Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah. It's crazy.
By the way, remember yesterday
with a 60-year-old man.
Remember yesterday we're doing our NBA and NFL comparisons?
Yeah.
After watching some of last night, I got one for you. You know, I've been talking a lot about Aaron Gordon with you guys. Last night, 28 points, you know, 39 minutes, 11 for 17 from the field, 4
night.
For 8 for 3-point range. You know, we talk about how up and down he is. It's like Aaron Gordon, Davante Adams.
Aaron Gordon and Davante Adams.
Has he ever been a flame out? This is the second season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's flamed out for sure.
Yeah.
He's definitely flamed out. It's okay. It's not a bad one.
Yeah.
I like it.
So my issue last night with Aaron Gordon, Tony, was that we knew Aaron Gordon was going to be good if Serge Ibaka was ruled out.
Like, yep,
we knew that for sure. But with lineups locking at 7 o'clock, this game being at 10:30, I couldn't risk it.
Nope. No, you couldn't. And the game had a low total.
Yep.
Actually, it didn't have a low enough. Me and Benny talked about this. We don't bet on these games, but we felt like if we bet on games, like we had a home run last night.
Betting the under, right, in this game?
In this game. It was 210, and we're like, there's no way.
Right.
There is no way that this game gets to 210. And, of course, it went to 201. Aaron Gordon 39 minutes of play, like it was the perfect setting for
I
this
know.
Guy.
Yep.
And that's the killer. And that's the advantage, though. Like if you play the like your buddy that put in the lineup quick.
Yep.
Like if he had that information, like there's another play that automatically you knew during the day. But at 7, we couldn't make that call.
That's right. We couldn't do it. We knew it. Like we all yeah. knew that was.
You don't know
of the
what
day.
The floor is with Aaron Gordon.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like if Ibaka plays, like. God knows the minutes. God knows the floor. Yeah. You're 100% right, Scott.
What did he score, like 2 his previous game or something like that?
Sure. It wouldn't yeah. surprise me. 16-12 for Nikola Vucevic. He's back in the starting lineup as well with Serge Ibaka not playing. Jeff Green also back in the starting lineup. Yeah. He had 10-5. And Fournier had 8 points.
What's up with Elfrid Payton?
And Elfrid Payton, he had 6, 23 minutes of action. DJ Augustine actually saw more minutes than him.
Yeah, they played the veterans minutes. Down the stretch in this game.
And look how
Augustine's that's been happening for about a week now. If you watch, he's getting more and more playing time.
27 minutes
So
night.
Neither one played good in this game. Yeah. But,
Jody Meeks got 28 minutes last night.
Yeah, if he played really well. If you look at it right now and you need a cheap guard and Orlando's in a situation against a high-paced team, Augustine's the play right now out of those two players.
Tony, do you remember what the over-under was in the Blazers-Cavs game?
Yeah, it was high. It was 222.
So that was another one that if we just thought about it, like the under was obvious because they were all tired as hell.
Yeah, I say this all the time. Like when I was younger, I used to bet like – all the time, right? And it's not a way to live. Like, I remember watching a LSU basketball game and Chris Thompson, who, what is his name? Abdul Ray Ufi ended up being when he was in the pros.
Right.
They're a 17-point game on a Saturday afternoon, and he fires up a meaningless 3 to cover the spread, and I had the other team, and I remember throwing up in my living room. Like, that's not the any way you want to live,
no.
So I don't bet on games like that, right? But you sit there, and if I was going to bet, I would be betting on the over and unders because it falls right in line with what we do.
Right, exactly. You're analyzing that anyway.
Yep.
So
yeah.
That was actually, it's probably a good one. CJ McCollum, the other way.
Yeah, those numbers can be difficult, but that can be, yeah, well, Tony's right. That's no way to live. That's no way to live. Maybe now, every now and then, a dollar for fun, but trying to hit.
Yeah.
I'd rather go against the spread than the over under.
It's more predictable,
huh?
It's more predictable.
The over under is very tricky.
Right.
The over under is very tricky.
But you know, the only reason I'm pointing out is just last night we knew Portland and Cleveland didn't get to Portland until like midday yesterday.
Yeah.
We knew they were exhausted.
Our job is to predict, I think, in most of these sports, is game flow. And game flow goes into the total.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Game flow was definitely affected yesterday.
CJ McCollum at 27. Damian Lillard, bad night, 14-3. Mo Harkless at 13. Alfred Camino had another double, which is good, 11-11. Mason Plumlee only had 4 points. Story for Portland, though. Once again, Alan Crabb stepped up because he had 24 points, Tony.
Yeah. I watched this game. And when you just gave me Aminu's stats,
you're
shocked,
right?
It was 11. Yeah, because he didn't play well.
Yeah.
5 of 16 shooting, so he shot 30%. He was 0 for 5 from 3-point line. Yeah, I was saying, like, but he still ends up. But that's the way he is. He still gets the numbers somehow because he's so involved in that offense. He had 11 points. That's not going to kill you for his salary in that one. So he's a guy you can consistently put in there. Plumlee's a guy that I thought would have a better game. He put up 4 points and 5 rebounds. Tough game for him.
Yeah, you mentioned Crabb. It's like he was on fire from the outside last night. 9 from 11 from the field.
Yeah, and you look at his last.
Evan Turner led them in assists.
Yep, I saw that 11 assists, right? Something like that.
Made some pretty passes last night.
You know, it's interesting. Because Alan Crabb has been pretty hot as of late. 3 of his last 4 games, he had at least those 24 points, right? I know he had that stinker against the Lakers on Tuesday. But besides that, 30 against Detroit, 30 game before that as well. Actually, that's a lie because that's ESPN's getting it wrong. He's been hot. We'll just leave it there. Alan Crabb's been hot.
Here's the problem. When you got to be careful with a guy like Crabb. He only gets points. So if he doesn't shoot
well,
not going to get the rebounds, he's going to get the assists, and the floor is really low. Like last night, he banged out 9 for 11 from the field and put up the 24 points. That's great, but we all know you're not going to shoot 9 for 11 every night. Last night, he actually had a good rebounding game for him, and he had 4 rebounds. He only had 1 assist, 1 steal. There's just nothing else there.
It's a good point. For the Cleveland Cavaliers, the big 3, Kevin Love at 17-8. obviously, we said left this game with a little bit of an ankle tweak or a knee tweak, came back in the game. LeBron, 20-11. Kyrie Irving, who I loved, and I was dead wrong, 11-3, 4 of 16 from the field.
I would have played him last night, too.
Didn't Tony say go the other way on this game, like go against Irving?
I
liked Lillard better.
You liked Lillard better, he said, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't play that well either, so it didn't matter. But, you know, the show we did yesterday, I think it was the Out of Bounds show, where we talked about LeBron James and him complaining about the fouls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was fresh in my mind watching that game. He definitely doesn't go to the hole as much as he used to.
Right.
He's definitely become a jump shooter, and he's actually playing really well. He's 42% from 3-point line.
That's pretty good. That's
got to be a career best.
That's really good. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the one negative on LeBron James when he came in the league. I mean, it was his jump shooting, right? And all these players, they get older, they drive the hoop less, they get better at jump shooting, and he's a guy that, you know, takes pride in his work, so he got better. And that's one of the reasons why he didn't get the foul line.
Save his knees, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was going to have to change his game in order to survive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even though he's like
32. It's happening fast, you know.
I've known this dude since he was 16 years old.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
32 years old. That's kind of, I remember back in high school, like, I was, like, baffled how we could have so much love for this high school kid.
Mm. Definitely came through.
Yep.
Let's take a break, guys. We'll come back. We'll look at some more of Tony's favorite plays. I know he gave us a few of them earlier. We'll go a little bit more in depth there and see who else he likes for tonight. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues after this. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The big question for tonight will be, Tony Cincata, the status of Anthony Davis. You know, at least they're in Brooklyn, so the shoot-around will be this morning. We'll also have his status really early because 7 p.m. start tonight with the Brooklyn Nets and New Orleans. But as Corey pointed out earlier this week, New Orleans has been in New York for a couple days now. I don't know if I like this with all these guys partying in the city.
Yeah. I agree. That's a good
point. I'm not even kidding.
You know
they're from New Orleans. You two want to talk, they could party every night in their lives.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you come to New York, you get a little bit of different vibe, too. So I guarantee you they tore the city.
No wife to go home to.
I know all these guys are very faithful gentlemen, so.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Nevertheless, Tony, what are you looking at tonight, my friend?
Rue Holiday in the point guard position tonight against Brooklyn Nets, and Isaiah Whitehead is a guy absolutely you're going to put in play at the point guard. You're going to start out all your teams with Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard in this one. As far as attacking with the Brooklyn Nets, that's always a pretty interesting against the Pelicans, who are not great defensively. Booker would be a guy if we had in play tonight. The small forward position is very light. If you don't go Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant, there's not a lot to love there. Solomon Hill, if you needed to get some salaries in at $3,000, a guy could play. But other than that, that's where I'm going in that contest.
What about Harrison Barnes at the small forward position tonight facing Phoenix?
Yeah,
and up
so he would. He would be the other guy if I didn't go Leonard Durant. It would be Harrison Barnes, and then there's nobody else that I would roster because of that Indiana game at 3 o'clock. That's taking Paul George out of the equation for tonight's games.
Okay, so there you go. There you have
3
it.
3 o'clock.
Is it 3 o'clock even in London today, yes.
Oh, they're doing the NFL joint.
Doing a little NFL joint.
Who's playing in it?
Indiana and Denver.
Sucks for them.
Yeah. Would you go back to Derrick Rose tonight facing Chicago?
No, I would not go to Derrick Rose tonight because of I have Holiday, which is pretty close. He's $7,000 on DraftKings, and on FanDuel, Holiday is $6,800, which is even a bigger bargain. Derrick Rose, $6,100 on both places. I don't think it's a significant enough difference there in salary-wise that I would jump and bet down to him. So, no, I wouldn't go there.
I do have a shell of a lineup here.
Oh, that's him.
That you're not going to play.
But, no, I might rent this tonight. I'm only $300 under.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe you guys can help me get over there here, get over the threshold. Michael Carter-Williams and Buddy Hield at the guards.
So you're going back to Michael Carter-Williams after last night's dud.
Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge at the forwards, Robin Lopez at center, Devin Booker at the guard, Solomon Hill at forward, and I got Anthony Davis at utility, and I'm $300 over.
Did you say Kawhi?
Yeah.
Oh, he said Kawhi. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. He has Kawhi and Aldridge.
Gotcha.
So you're $300 over?
Yeah.
And you're using Michael Carter-Williams at $4,900.
Yeah. We got Hield at 4,700.
Well, you know what's interesting? Another name that we probably should mention, I have to ask you about, Tony, while we have you, of course, is back to Denzel Valentine, right? He had a monster game the other night. Dwayne Wade returns tonight, but we know no Miritich. We know no Butler. Is Valentine the guy we can go back to?
See, I wouldn't think so. Because
he's very cheap.
And I wouldn't think you're going to get the playing time because he's going to be playing the Dwayne Wade position, two guard there, unless Dwayne Wade moves a three and they go with the hot hand and they keep Valentine out there. For $3,300, it's worth a speculative play.
Yeah,
if you wanted to drop
save a little
down.
Money if I plop him in it.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll tell you right now.
I don't want to take a Kawhi Leonard.
Can't do that. I like Trevor Booker. I like Tobias Harris. No John Lohr again. I like Taj Gibson, too. There's options, man. We'll keep track. Make your lineups all day. Listen to Nieves Lineup Lock tonight at 6 p.m. with Tony and Benny. Stick around. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two underway here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parsons, Scott Angle, Tony Sicada, Greg Sussman, hanging out with you. And the big story from late last night, and it should be official in just a few hours, it seems as if San Diego has lost their football team, the San Diego Chargers. Dean Spanos is a former Roger Goodell. We out of here, baby. And we are headed up the coast to Los Angeles. Read an interesting column about this morning. Bill Plaschke wrote it. And I'm reading the sentiment on Twitter. And basically, and you guys, I'd love everyone to chime in with their thoughts. But basically, no one in LA wants this freaking team. No one gives a shit about the Chargers. They're already second-class citizens in a town that they don't even play in yet. They'd be playing a soccer stadium until the Inglewood Stadium is built. And a lot of heat on Spanos because he's worth like $2.1 billion. The NFL gave him $300 million, and he still couldn't build a stadium without taxpayer money. So this is a lot of heat on him because San Diego loves their Chargers, and he couldn't make it work despite being a billionaire. He was making his fans and the taxpayers pay for a stadium, and of course, you know, why should they do that? So Chargers headed to L.A., where they'll be second-class citizens, and, you know, not a great look for the Spanos family, but when does that get in the way of making cash? So there you go. Chargers headed to Los Angeles.
Yeah, they were there for 55 years and built a very passionate fan base.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Like, good points by you, Greg. It's not a good look. You know, you have to build a whole fan base, you know, around being the second class team there. And we've seen teams, you know, not succeed in Los Angeles, move away.
Sure.
You know, on the surface, it doesn't look like a good look. You wonder how they'll lose a lot of fans. It's going to be tough to gain new ones.
If your team moves away, Tony, if like Jacksonville like moved to London, would you still be a Jaguars? I guess you're a Patriots fan, but like, would you still be a Jaguars fan if they moved to London?
I don't think people would. No, I think people would actually become a Falcons fan. Some people would become Buccaneers fans. I think no, I don't think they would be Jacksonville fans. You know, it's interesting because I see both sides of this issue. Spanos is a businessman, so I get where he's coming from because there isn't a single stadium that I'm aware of that didn't get any public money.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he's trying to do what everybody else does. The NFL says, hey, man, we give you $300 million. You're on your own. That's, you know, you do get something done here. So there, and Spanos is a guy that's never cared about public opinion.
Right.
And basically says, you know what? I'm not going to put my own money into this because Nobody else has to. And I'm glad that San Diego did this, the city of San Diego.
Oh, absolutely.
Because every city should do this. I don't understand why we keep paying for these arenas and they're getting all the money. And what are the perks to it, you know, for the taxpayer? I mean, what are the perks for the taxpayer? Every single stadium, even in New England, when they built that new stadium, Kraft got, I believe, close to $100 million for the roadways and stadiums going into there. And he got a lot of the money financed through his own, but he did get public money. Jerry Jones did get public money. There's a lot of people out there that are always going to get something. And when San Diego put their foot down, I'm glad they did. I think more cities should do it, but nobody does.
Yeah. And this is a situation where this is a team that's not, Los Angeles don't want the Chargers.
No, absolutely.
So it's
not.
Like, why do we have to pay for them?
Pretty much.
San Diego didn't want them. Why do we have to pay for them? So that sucks on their behalf. I'm just against I want the billionaires to buy the stadiums.
I agree.
San Diego actually has the lowest attendance this year as far as filling up to capacity. They were only at 80% of capacity on the season.
Yeah. A lot of people, like towards the end, I was reading, just knew they were going to go. So
yeah, 100%.
One of them.
And it's not like, sorry for cutting you off, Cor.
Okay.
But it's not like L.A. is getting this like perennial winner, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like the Chargers have a terrible.
They're usually on the cusp of maybe making the playoffs.
Sure, yeah. But they haven't won anything.
No, they've been to the Super Bowl once.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're getting this great team or this great dynasty. You're getting, for lack of a better term, a bunch of losers.
Well, yeah.
At least with the Rams, they could be like, all right, like the Rams were here a long time in Los Angeles,
yeah,
right?
They came home.
Right, you can play
Chargers,
that angle.
The Chargers have something of their own tradition. When you're 55 years, you know,
right.
There's Chargers fans out there who remember guys like Chuck Muncy and Kellen Winslow.
Right.
Yeah.
Dan Fouts, of course.
So even though they didn't win, you know, there were players and there was a lot of tradition there.
And that's in San Diego, yeah. Right? That's their team. At least with the Rams, like most of their tradition was in Los Angeles. Like,
right.
I know they won the Super Bowl in St. Louis, but like most of their tradition is in Los Angeles. So you had St. Louis? Yes. Dick Vermeil, Mike Martz.
Did it.
Kurt Warner, Marshall Falk.
Who did they
Holt.
Tennessee Titans.
Come on.
Yeah. Remember Kevin Dyson on the 1 yard line?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Greg, I can't remember everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a great.
They
Super
named
Bowl,
the vacuum
right.
cleaner after the guy. He was so good.
My top three football games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Was played in San Diego.
Real Kellen Winslow and the Miami Dolphins game had to be one of them.
Yep, that's the game right there.
They carried Kellen Winslow off the field.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That's the game right there. That was an amazing football game. That game was in San Diego. So
didn't they go to like Cincinnati the next week and it was totally frozen? And he lost in the title game.
I don't remember that much.
Pretty
I was
sure.
Very
like
young.
One of the coldest games of all time.
I remember that game. That was a very entertaining. It was a very good football game. I think a lot of people that saw that game will tell you one of the best ones they ever seen. That's in my top three. That one right there. It's in my top. Might be in my top two, to be honest with you.
So you have. I never saw it, so I can't really comment on it.
Yeah.
But you have a team that is leaving a city that really adored them. And I understand, like, they adored them. I know that they adored them not enough to pay for anything, as they should, and I agree with you, Tony, 100%. But you have a team that, as you know, Scott, San Diego loved their Chargers, right?
Yeah.
You said they were passionate about them. Now they're leaving to go literally be a second team in a city that could not care less about them. They're number one. They'll be the second team there after 20 years. And Plashkin made a great point, right? In L.A., right, you got the Rams. They were there for 40 years beforehand, right? So you got the Rams there.
Yeah.
Do you know who everyone's other team? Like, if you're not a Rams fan in L.A., you're a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're Raiders played in L.A. You got the whole Compton thing going on with the Raiders. And
Compton?
Yeah.
Why we could bring every show this week, we bring up Compton? What the hell is going on?
Well,
because I watched
the 30 for 30 on the Raiders. There was a big Compton section in it.
Oh, because of the apparel.
Yeah.
Tough guy apparel.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Cardano sent a tweet saying that game was played in Miami, so we stand corrected.
Okay.
So the Chargers ran that game, but the game was played in Miami.
But it was very, very memorable.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a great game.
It was a memorable game.
What's that?
Remember watching that game, Scott?
It was kind of cryptic. Like, you know, I don't remember what. I remember, like, one of the first football games that I watched where I go, wow, a hell of a game. And I hate to bring this up, Corey, was like when the 49ers beat the Cowboys in the conference championship game with Dwight Clark's catch.
Let me ask you this, Scott. If the Jets was to move back to Queens, would you go back to being a Jet fan?
Probably not. I'm too far gone at this point. You know, it's been 33 years where I've stuck with the same team. I can't.
There you go.
He did admit that he was a Jets fan, though.
When they left Queens, though, it's like, I'm loyal, unlike you, Golden Fake Warrior. But when the Jets left Queens, that's like, that was my neighborhood team, you know. So I was kind of pissed off, and I was just starting to seriously watch football. I said, well, if they're going to move away, and I'm not going to root for them.
And suck, yeah.
And
yeah.
So there you go, right? That sucked. That sucked for you.
Scott, I give you a lot of crap about reusing the same things, but the Golden Fake Warrior is very good.
That's like, a very good. That is good.
Tony, can I use it again today?
Yeah, you keep you. No, I love it. Every time you say it, I get a chuckle.
Is that because it reminds you of a golden shower?
Oh boy!
No.
That's the kind of joke where Sussman usually goes, "What are we doing? This is crazy. Let's go to break."
This is a joke, guys. Yeah. That's a
He's
joke.
He's finally falling in line.
I've been working with Tony Zincana for too long.
Yeah. And Corey too.
Golden Fake Warrior.
Let's go to break.
No.
That's the damn
not
table,
the table, Scott.
Oh,
no. You want to do that? You got to grab the menu.
Oh, God.
No.
Please don't do that.
No.
I'm not. Listen. You know who's going to get blamed if something happened.
It would be you.
Whatever. Yeah,
it would be you. But to be fair, you would have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything, though, and I won't do it again. So.
Well, if you want to bang it, feel free. Just grab the menu. That's what we have, the menu. It's on the floor.
I'm not as experienced with the gavel as you are.
I understand. It's okay.
But you were actually like playing a different role where you were like making off-color jokes. Yeah. I was playing your role.
Oh, I understand. I get it.
We're switching roles there.
I get it. But yeah, so... It just, like I said, it sucks for Chargers fans. Like, it sucks for you and the Jets left Queens, Scotty. So you like
I don't know geography. How far is San Diego in LA?
I don't know. A
couple hours.
Anyone know?
A few hours.
The thing was, though, when the Jets left, I wasn't that tied to them, though. You know, they just started watching football when they moved.
But you know what? They lost a fan. They lost a fan that would have been. Like, he would have been a Jets fan.
Yeah, if they would have stayed, yeah.
Right. So all these kids that are your age, they're in San Diego, would have been Charger fans, and they're gone.
So what happened was, I said, you know, they don't care about me as a fan. And then the Seahawks were retiring at the number and honor their fans. They just started retiring to 12, and I saw how tied they were to the fans and, you know, like how the players like hung outside the team bus with the fans. And I said, I like this team.
Why aren't you a Texas A&M fan then?
I don't watch college football.
Oh, but they started the 12th man.
Yeah, but I don't watch college football, though.
But so if you were, would you be an A&M fan?
I don't know.
Well, you like the 12th man.
No, I'm just saying I like how in tune the Seahawks were with their fan base.
Well, I'm saying A&M.
That was one of the few things that drew me. I love Kurt Warner and Steve Largent too.
Yes.
You like teams with that strong fan bases.
Yeah, strong fan bases. Yeah, that they... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've noticed.
I thought it was the pretty uniforms.
I like the uniforms too. Yeah, I love those old Seahawk uniforms. But I'm tied to the new ones now too, though, because they represent the most successful era in franchise history.
There you go. I just feel bad for the Chargers fans. Basically, you don't care.
I do, because when I see things on the Chargers, there's a lot of loyal fans out there.
I agreed.
They have a lot of loyal, passionate fans.
Agreed.
Like who? Who?
What?
Who?
I've just seen documentaries on the Chargers.
There's no document. The Chargers are dead.
I know
no
people have been
Chargers.
I don't think people have been Chargers.
People get documentary.
They're
on the Chargers.
Chargers fans.
Who?
Yeah, I think
there's 40 people
who
come to the damn game
this year because they knew they were going to move. Though, but I knew a lot of Chargers fans.
The Stengels are very big Chargers fans.
Yeah.
Who?
Eric and Justin Stengel.
Okay.
You know them?
Twitter.
Well, they're writers.
Writers.
They're, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there
I didn't
you go.
Know they were Chargers.
They're very
fans.
Passionate Chargers fans. And there's other people.
They
like
live
that.
In Long Island, probably.
They do. Well, I was just saying. Lee Jenkins, right? The guy that broke LeBron's story? Big Chargers fan.
What LeBron story?
The coming home story.
That it was? Okay.
Which SI?
I broke that. I didn't know Lee Jenkins was a Chargers fan. I didn't win yet.
So you asked me. You're giving your names.
I had a cousin live in San Diego. A lot of his coworkers are Charger fans. He's the mailman in San Diego.
All right. Let's take a break here. We'll come back.
You know what the second game is? The second best football game I've ever seen?
What was that?
The Fiesta Bowl 2001.
Ohio State, Miami?
Vince Young?
No, it was Ohio State. Ken Dorsey.
Ohio State, Miami.
Ken Dorsey.
Ken Dorsey, Willis McGahee.
Oh, really?
That was an amazing football
game. Amazing football game.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Tressel.
Yeah. I mean, look at the star power in that game.
Was Maurice Claret on that team?
Andre
or no?
Johnson, Maurice Claret, mm-hmm. Willis McGahee, Sean Taylor played in that game.
Sure.
Oh, Jesus. He's not dead. He's dead now.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
That's crazy, right?
Supposedly, yeah, famous Charger fans included Bob Hope.
Oh!
Pamela Anderson.
Oh, nice rack.
Terry Hatcher.
Nice rack.
So, Scotty, I said Sean Taylor's dead now, and Scott says supposedly. I thought I was talking about... like, he's like Tupac, right? He's not really dead.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Is a Charger fan?
Yeah.
Oh, I never seen him at the game, no?
No, I never seen him either.
Bob Hope. Bob Hope's passed away, right?
I don't know.
You know, the greatest game in my life. It's the Raiders and the Patriots, right? The tuck rule.
Oh.
It's so crazy. Like, I remember exactly what seat at the bar I was sitting at and how this thing couldn't be turned over. Like, there's no way that this instant replay is going to give us the ball back. And then you get it back. And I remember ordering beers for people. Like, I remember everything that happened that night. It's the craziest thing. And the second greatest sporting event I ever went to is the All-Star game, the home run hitting contest at Fenway Park.
All right.
It wasn't even a game.
Corey, have you heard of Kendra Wilkerson?
Of course.
Yeah, she's a Chargers
fan.
Thanks.
Kendra Wilkerson. What do you mean?
Yeah.
How big of a fan? She can't name one player. That's how bad the Chargers fans
are. Wait, was Kendra Wilkerson the one that was married to right?
She did a photo shoot for Playboy in a Danian Tomlinson jersey, and she's always out there representing the Chargers.
There you go. Hey, by the way,
Edward James Olmos.
Edward James Olmos. Yeah. Gotta clarify, it was the 2002 Miami Hurricanes team that you were talking about, not 2001.
So, but the game was played in 2002. It was the 2001 season.
Mm-mm, 2002 season.
So the game was played in 2003?
Right.
Oh, no, it couldn't have been.
I'm just reading it. 2002 Miami Hurricanes football team. Is the team that lost Ohio State on January 3rd.
Okay.
I'm just looking at it.
So then they lost that January 3rd, 2003. The bottom line, it was a great football
game.
One of the best football games, if not the best football game I've ever seen.
So I'll give you some names on that team. Because I know we know what you're talking about, the Fiesta Bowl, right?
Fiesta Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By the way, Tony... That Panthers-Patriots Super Bowl was like one of the best games I ever saw, I thought.
Really?
Panthers-Patriots.
That's a good game.
Coming back.
We almost lost.
Yeah.
So this was crazy because it was the Fiesta Bowl, right? But it was played at the Orange. It was played in Miami. So Miami had a home game, and they lost to Ohio State in double OT. And on this Miami Hurricanes team.
Oh, wait a minute now. Before we get in, it was a very controversial call in that game.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
Lost, whatever. Ken Dorsey was a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Willis McGahee, Andre Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end, Kellen Winslow.
Mm-hmm. Junior.
Right tackle was Vernon Carey, NFL player. On the defense, you had William Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Giant.
Vince Wilfork, he was pretty good.
I forgot Vince Wilfork was on that team. Mm-hmm. He's getting ready to retire.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Jerome McDougal, he's an Eagle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
DJ Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Vilma.
DJ Williams, this is a linebacker.
This is like an all-star game.
I'm not done yet. Jonathan Vilma.
Jets.
Entrell Roll.
Yeah, look at that.
Kelly Jennings. Sean Taylor. The year before. And the offensive coordinator of this team, Rob Chudzinski.
Oh, how about that? Chud.
Yeah.
Who played for Ohio State?
I'm going to get there in a second.
Okay.
But the 2001 Miami team was even better.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Ken Dorsey. Running back was Clinton Portis.
Oh.
Clinton Portis.
Tight end was Jeremy Shockey. Wide receiver Andre Johnson. Left tackle was Bryant McKinney.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Viking. The guy that passed away.
And the defense was...
Bryant McKinney passed away?
Years ago.
No, he didn't.
Or do I have a confused?
Oh, you got him mixed up with somebody.
Who's the Viking that passed away?
He's very much alive.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Corey Stringer,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep, good. Yep.
Yeah. And then on the defense for Miami, all the guys I named, basically, and Mike Rumpf and Ed Reed and Philip Buchanan.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And that team didn't win the championship, right?
They did. They were undefeated.
Buchanan was disappointed as a pro.
Who'd that team beat?
Nebraska. Eric Crouch.
Okay. They beat him up, too.
Oh, yeah. Eric Crouch, man. He was like, he was Rocky Marciano before Rocky Marciano. My life is so screwed up. I was just thinking of something. Like, Vince Wilfork's had a great career in college in the NFL, and all I could think about is, how does he make love to his wife?
He's a big boy.
He's so big, right? Like, how does he get on top of her?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but his woman is pretty sturdy, too, though.
Okay.
I've seen a picture of his woman. She's sturdy.
Anyway, so on Ohio State, to answer your question, do you remember who the quarterback was?
The quarterback of Ohio State, he was a smart... He was a, oh, my goodness. He played in the NFL, too. Gosh, what's
Jermaine?
His
name?
The quarterback of Ohio State in that game, he was like a neurosurgeon type. He played in the NFL.
Come on.
He may have played for
Ohio State was a neurosurgeon.
His degree came in some high advanced medical field.
His degree was in molecular genetics.
Molecular engineer. Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
You're totally right.
I can't think. But he did. He had a cup of coffee in the pros.
Drafted by the Bears. Played in 2004 with the Bears. Started a couple games with them that year.
I can't think his name right now. 2004
the Bears.
He now works as a commentator for the Fan in Columbus. He is also a partner in an insurance group with his family and his son. Yeah.
Former Bears quarterback.
You're not going to get hurt by that. That's the only way you get it is he's a former Ohio State quarterback, honestly.
But I didn't watch college, so I'm going then to the Bears.
You're not going to be able to get this one.
Scott, if you was to watch this game, Scott, like this game comes on ESPN Classic all the time.
Right.
They always play on ESPN Classic. If you was to sit back and watch it, you would agree. Like the drama of the game was unbelievable. Like the Miami team was undefeated. Ohio State had won this amazing game versus Michigan to end the season to get there. And then Maurice Claret was in the game. Willis McGay, like tore his ACL real crazy. It was this play where Sean Taylor intercepted a pass in the end zone and was getting ready to take it to the house, and Maurice Claret walked him down and took the football from him and got possession back for Ohio State. It was unbelievable. That guy's name was Chris.
You're right there. It's not Chris, but you're right there. You want to tell you his name or you want to think about it?
Yeah, tell me it.
Craig Krenzel.
Oh.
I vaguely remember him.
He was a quarterback, Craig Krenzel.
I remember him.
Maurice Claret was a running back. The offensive line for Ohio State, starting right tackle was Shane Olivier.
Mm-hmm.
Charger, long time Charger. Backup center, I don't know if he played in this game, Nick Mangold.
Oh, look at that.
Jet.
The wide receiver.
Chris Gamble.
Was also the cornerback. That's Chris Gamble. Playing wide receiver and cornerback. Michael Jenkins was the wide receiver on the other side.
Former Falcon.
Michael Jenkins, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right, yep. Mm-hmm. The kicker, Mike Nugent.
Oh, look at that.
Still kicking.
They had some good players on defense to Ohio State.
I'm getting defensive end, Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
He's real good. Quarterback, Dustin Fox, who hosts a show in Columbus as well. A.J. Hawk was on this team. Yeah. Bobby Carpenter was on this
team.
Yeah,
Bobby Carpenter.
Mike Dawson, safety.
Bobby Carpenter,
Will Allen, the other safety.
Bobby Carpenter, the former Jet.
Yeah, the Cowboy.
A Cowboy, yeah.
It might be a different Bobby Carpenter because he doesn't have a Wikipedia, so I don't know. There you go. A little Ohio State-Miami retrospective for you, 2002.
If you've never seen it, come on ESPN Classic. Watch it. It was amazing. It was almost like a story. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are documentaries on it, right?
Have they done
a 30 for 30 on it?
No, Youngstown Boys, the Youngstown Boys 30 for 30 has a lot of... Well, the Youngstown Boys 30 for 30, that was like the Youngstown Boys team.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Corey, are you ready to go here?
Yeah,
Mike Lorio says there's two documentaries on Miami.
The U and the U part
the U
two.
U plot, yeah. Sorry, part two, right.
All right. I watched that. Beautiful.
It was
beautiful.
Good.
Those are I don't know a bad one, though. I've watched them all.
You know what? There's some that I have.
I didn't like the one on fantasy baseball too much.
That
one
was boring.
That one, yeah. Like, you had to be high to watch that one.
No. If you're high, you go to sleep.
It's so crazy, right? I do fantasy sports. I would never watch one on fantasy baseball.
Yeah, it was boring.
I would. I was very, like, looking forward to it. I just was let down on it.
It was boring. I'm really looking forward to the one with the XFL, by the way.
The XFL.
Yeah, it's coming out. I got an email about tickets to go see the premiere on Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to go, yeah. So if you want to go, really? Scott, I can pass them along if you'd like. If you'd be interested.
Donald Trump will be... Will Donald be there?
If Vince was there, I would go. Like, I knew Vince McMahon would be there, I would go. But if you want to go, Scotty, talk after the show.
I appreciate it.
The XFL.
I'll pass.
He hate me.
Mm-hmm.
He hate me now.
Rod Smart. Okay, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. Hosted by Corey Parson, it's the return of Name That Player. Stick around. The Roto Experts continues after this. I saw this on TMZ Sports. I'm sure I'll talk about this later out of bounds.
Oh,
TMZ Sports
mention is
fun. It quickly. I don't want to go into it because I need to talk about fantasy or play name that player. I'm excited about it. But did you hear Randy Moss, baby mama, denies blowing $4 million on drugs?
Come on. What is he doing?
Five kids.
She does.
They do. Together. And she denied that. She said she went to rehab 10 years ago. And he said, if he spent $4 million on drugs, where is his proof? And not that I judge these things, but do you see what
first
she looks
thing
like?
I'm thinking is like Mike Florio lying. You know, is she lying? She didn't blow $4 million. Maybe she blew $4.5 million.
You see what she? You know, this is what Randy Moss is sliding into.
Yeah, you see that's West Virginia.
What did you expect, Greg? I mean,
you know what? I take it back. I apologize, Tony.
You don't get around too much. I mean, you go down to West Palm Beach. Go to New York City. West Virginia is a whole different world.
I apologize,
yo,
Corey. Please take it.
I've been to West. West Virginia is like the only place where like I had like blatantly. Racism. Yeah, like, we don't want you around here.
We don't get too many of your kind around these parts.
Yeah, like,
parts.
The dude was, like, yelling out of the van, like, you better get from around here. And I'm like, oh, jeez, I just came. I came up here to spend money.
I came to lose money.
Yeah, I came up here to help your little raggedy-ass state. Anyway, name that player.
Hit the music, Florio.
Name that player with a twist.
With a twist?
Yes.
A lemon twist?
This is the twist, because we also have artists combined and name that player.
Artists isn't like they paint pictures.
No.
Like artists. Musical artists.
Yes, artists involved in name that player. So this is name that artist, but the majority of it is
players.
Players, right?
That's exciting.
So this is name that person. This is the athlete. It could be an athlete.
This is exciting.
Prominent person.
It's a human. It's a prominent human being who, you know.
Like that. Name that celebrity.
Before you start this, I suppose we'll talk about later, but doesn't it feel like there's been, like, no hype for the games this weekend?
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like there's zero hype for these games.
Oh, the divisional playoffs?
Yeah.
Wait till Friday. Wait till tomorrow.
Okay.
It's weird you say that, because I agree with you.
Yeah.
I was doing research for the show, and I just felt like
Green Bay Dallas is so interesting.
It's a monster game.
Yeah.
Monster game. I just feel like there hasn't been much talk about it.
The
coaches talk. There hasn't been any of this.
Kansas City, Pittsburgh, but you figure both of them are going to go down.
That's a humongous game, too, though. Kansas City, Pittsburgh. That's the one that I'm looking forward to, also.
Do you think that Donald Trump's just overshadowing the NFL?
I hope not. Yeah. All right, here we go. Name that player. Name that person.
Name this prominent person.
Name this prominent person.
Yes.
I was born in Pennsylvania in 1985. No guesses.
What do you expect us to do? Franco Harris Jr.?
I was a three-sport high school athlete in Philadelphia. All right. I was once named ACC Player of the Year. All right. Name that prominent figure. I was born in Pennsylvania in 1985. I was a three-sport high school athlete in Philadelphia. I was named the ACC Player of the Year. I have won the Rookie of the Year award.
I feel like I should know this. This is embarrassing.
I am currently 31 years old. I was born in 1985.
Well, I figured that when he was born in 1985.
Yeah,
very
that makes good. Sense. My math was off there, so that was really...
See, guys, what sport does this gentleman play?
It's got to be basketball, I would say.
Basketball or football, I'm thinking.
All right. And I scored a 32 on the Wonderlic exam.
Oh, it's football.
So now we know.
ACC Player of the Year. Three stars.
Won the Rookie of the Year.
In the ACC... Oh, so he played for 31, so close to my age, played in the ACC, probably played for like a Florida State in the ACC by the time that he was in college, probably, yes, could have been Miami, could have went to Miami, probably a quarterback, scored high on the Wonderlic, to be a player of the year in the ACC, you're probably a quarterback, right?
All right, next clue.
Okay.
My career playoff record is 1-4.
That's not great.
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan is the correct answer.
I rang the bell.
Yes.
I said it before.
Hold on.
Was
Matt Ryan actually in the ACC when he played?
Boston College.
Yeah, but were they still in the Big East when he played?
No, it was they were in the ACC when he played. They were in the ACC. That has been triple checked. They were in the ACC. The next clue was I replaced one of the most controversial figures in sports history.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Yeah.
Who did he replace?
Michael Vick.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that work out for the Falcons? Pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
They worked out well.
Yeah.
Michael Vick, Matt Ryan ended up being a better quarterback, I think.
I think it worked out well for them. Yeah. They're satisfied. You know what? That's hard, though, right? Like, have Michael Vick.
Matt Ryan's a better quarterback than Michael Vick?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's
who's more likely to go into the Hall of Fame?
Matt Ryan.
Not Michael Vick.
Oh, well, off the
He'll
field.
He'll never get in the Hall of
Fame. Yeah, and off the field.
You know what's really interesting? Like, it's really hard to go from a quarterback that's, like, good. Like, Michael Vick was good, obviously. To, like, another good quarterback, Matt Ryan. Like, that's not easy. Like, look at the Jets, for instance, right? Like, how long have they been looking for a quarterback?
The Dolphins.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do we have to break?
Yeah, go do another one.
I'm from Sarasota, Florida, the same hometown as the Macho Man.
A Macho Man.
Tom Savage. Randy Savage.
Nice.
I was drafted by a team that no longer exists.
I am calling BS on your question. Matt Ryan was not part of... I believe BC football was 2005 in the ACC.
I have
Matt Ryan still in college.
On Matt Ryan's Wikipedia page, he says he won ACC Player of the Year.
2007.
Well, that's the problem.
Wait.
That's the problem.
You said that BC came in the ACC in what year?
I thought it was 2005.
Well, then he was the ACC Player of the Year in 2007.
Okay, you're right.
It's Thursday. Right. We get deeper into the week. I'm confused. Nice. First clue, I'm from Sarasota, Florida. Second clue, I was drafted by a team that no longer exists. Right? I'm a two-time All-Star.
I'm going to take a crack here.
I think I know it.
Ian Desmond.
Very good, Scotty.
Oh!
You're doing this way. You're getting this way too fast.
That is really
impressive.
Ian
Desmond was drafted by the Expos.
That's right.
There you go.
I thought it was going to be
I was thinking of St. Louis Rams.
I was thinking, that's crazy. So you were thinking football. You thought baseball. I thought it was Russell Westbrook drafted by the
Sonics. When he said team that no longer existed, my mind automatically went to the Expos.
I thought it was the Sonics.
Mm. Oh, that was it.
All right, Scotty. Ian Desmond, Colorado.
Yeah.
Is he some... Like, what... Can we project for him? Like, where? Like, he's going to be somebody that had a brutal second half. People love that he's in Colorado. What do we think of Ian Desmond?
I think the batting average will be less of a disappointment than it's in the past, and you could be looking at like an 18-18 sort of player.
Okay, Tony? Yeah.
You know, it was crazy. Last year, the guy that we whiffed on was Gerardo Parra. We thought all of a sudden, here going to Colorado, we would have huge numbers. And I tell you what, I think it's very similar. Here, I think he can get 18-18. Last year, 22-21, he had a huge start to that season, but I think he comes up a little short of those numbers going to Colorado.
So is he going to be overdrafted then, you think?
Yeah, I think big time.
Okay.
He's talented, but, you know, we can't overrate him based on the venue.
Okay, so there you go.
Other clues right quick before you go to break.
Yep.
Played for two professional teams, a two-time All-Star, has played three positions. In 2012, changed his number to 20 to honor Frank Robinson.
Oh.
132 career home runs, three Silver Slugger Awards, 143 career stolen bases, and in 2016, he left our nation's capital and moved to Texas.
Oh, how nice. Ian Desmond. Good job. That's good clues, right?
This guy's been a professional for a long time.
Yeah!
You forget about the minor league numbers. Yeah. He's played, 2006 he started. That's a long time.
We don't remember it. It's crazy.
He was like the last remaining player on the Nationals before he got moved to be drafted by the Expos.
Really?
Yeah.
Good stats, guy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. More Name That Player. We got that. We got the Weakest Link coming up, 9 o'clock hour. Try again. Corey, our defending champion there. We'll see who'll be the strongest link this week. And, of course, we'll continue to talk about baseball, football, basketball. Right away, Experts in the Morning continues on right after this. Experts, here on a Thursday. Scott scares me with the gavel, to be honest with you. Look at him. Isn't that scary?
It's a little bit, yeah.
Play name the gavel is a baseball bat.
We're playing that name that player. Scott and I tied getting the first one right with Matt Ryan. And Scott destroyed us getting Ian Desmond.
That was a good one.
Incredibly
impressive.
What
happened with the first one?
We tied. We both
tied. Yeah, you hit the bell.
I hit the bell.
I
knew
first,
the answer,
yeah.
And then you said it.
Yeah.
All right. Corey's had a whole bunch of these. It's named that famous person so far. We've had a baseball player. We've had a football player. Corey, let's do it.
All right, here we go. I was born in New York City in 1981.
Pretty old.
I attended Southside High School in Long Island, New York.
Long Island? No shit.
Admiralis.
He's a good one.
He's our competition.
No, but it's not. I was voted class clown.
That's nice.
Corey Parson.
It was not. I'm not from Long Island. I went to Towson University in Maryland. Down a block from Sussman.
Oh, I know who. Malcolm Shabazz, right?
No, not Malcolm Shabazz. Not Malcolm Shabazz.
Alma mater of Mark Belanger and David Meggett.
All right. Now, David Meggett.
No, I'm just saying Towson.
Also Terrence West for more recent.
Oh, there you go. My homie Rel went to Townsend also. He tore his knee up, never got a chance to make it. I was named
Chris Cheon, I think, too.
No, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Summer stop.
I was once named as one of Time magazine's most 100 influential people. Born in New York City in 1981, attended Southside High in Long Island, New York, voted class clown. Went to Towson University, was once named to Time Magazine's most 100 most influential people.
Tough one to get out there.
Tongue twister, yes.
Yeah.
In 2016.
It's last year.
Huh?
It's last year.
That's last year.
Yeah.
In 2016, I held the top position on the New York Times bestseller list for 2 weeks. I am currently nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was coming. Oh, boy.
Townsend University, Time Magazine's Most 100 Influential People. 2 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list in 2016. In 2015,
it's 2 years ago.
I hosted the MTV Movie Awards and an episode of Saturday Night Live.
That's my realm.
John Legend?
It's not John Legend.
Oh, that was a good guess, though.
That was a good guess.
That was a good guess.
It's not John Legend.
Wow, I hosted SNL, and he hosted the MTV.
And you watch SNL all the time.
Oh, Amy Schumer.
Very good. Amy Schumer. Tony Sincotta knocks it out the box.
That's a nice job, Tony.
I was thinking of comedians from New York, and I couldn't think of any young ones. And then
I didn't know she was from New York or had a best-selling book.
That was so... Yeah. God damn it.
All right, 2015.
Hey, good job.
Hosted Saturday Night Live and MTV Movie Awards. Have appeared on episodes of 30 Rock, Louie, and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I would not have gotten that.
You wouldn't have gotten that? Okay.
I might have gotten it from Louie.
My uncle is a very big guy in New York State.
Good answer.
And in
Congress?
The country.
Yeah, that's good.
Chuck Schumer's her uncle.
Yes, he is.
I did not know that
really?
Until last night.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she has a grand larceny.
Really?
On her record.
I did not know that.
A grand larceny, I guess it was some kind of credit card scheme. And he got her out of trouble.
Really?
Yeah.
You gotta help you out your niece.
Yeah, that's so crazy. But, you know, why not? That's wild. I did not know that. Grand larceny.
That's bad.
That's bad.
That's a bad one.
Mm-hmm. If you were a politician, though, right, and you had the ability to get relatives out of... issues, would you get them out?
Yes, of course.
Oh, does it depend? It depends on who it is.
and what they can give me.
Yeah.
I had a guy in Boston that told me I can get you out of anything. Just call me whenever you get in trouble. The only thing you can't get out of is DUI.
Oh.
People don't...
They don't play with that.
They don't fool around with that. Yep. No.
All right, here we go. Ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it.
I am a two-time consensus All-American.
Oh, is the sport, is it an athlete? Or is it?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Could be a debate team.
Good point. Good point.
Mm. I have suffered a torn ACL.
Oh, that's sad.
Not as bad as it used to be.
It's true. It's a good point. Tony making a lot of good points this morning.
I scored a 25 on the Wonderlic test.
Oh, boy. Oh, I have an answer.
Not good.
Take a
Dan
whack.
Marino.
Not Dan
Not
Marino.
Dan
Carson Palmer.
Not Carson Palmer.
All right, you guys both guessed. I'm just chilling here.
All right. In the NFL Combine, I ran a 4.340.
That is extremely quick.
It's quick. He's not a quarterback.
He's not a quarterback.
RG3?
It's not Robert Griffin.
Okay.
He said not a quarterback. And Scott said, you know what?
I led all of major college football in all-purpose yards at 202 per game. Second place the season that I led, the guy who came in second, was Jobbit Best.
Is it Ted Ginn?
It is not Ted Ginn. Good answer, though. So here we go. Two-time because it's All-American. 25 on the Wonderlic test. 4-3 at the NFL Combine. Suffered a torn ACL. Led major college football with all-purpose yards at 202 per game. Second place the season when I led was Jobbit Best.
Willis McGahee?
It is not Willis McGahee.
You're too early.
He couldn't run the 4.340.
No, he definitely couldn't. He really got mine.
Yeah.
In 2014, I was targeted 143
times. 143
times
you were targeted? It's a lot of targets, it sounds like to me.
Holy shit.
I have a guess on Twitter. It's
what
Percy
year was
Harvin.
That he was talking?
Huh?
Percy Harvin.
And it's not
Twitter.
Percy Harvin. Right.
What year was that? That he was targeted 143 times?
In 2014, he was targeted 143 times. In college. Now, do I want to go with
Steve
that one
Smith?
First? Not Steve Smith. In the pros, I've only known one head coach.
Oh.
Name
Mike Wallace?
It is not
Antonio
Mike Wallace.
Brown?
It is not Antonio Brown. All right, here we go. Next clue. In college, I caught passes.
Here we go.
From Chase Daniel.
Jeremy Maclin?
Jeremy Maclin is correct. Jeremy Maclin
college,
is the
baby.
Player. Jeremy Maclin is the player.
I didn't know Jerry Maclin was that fast.
4.3. I was shocked when I saw that.
4.3 is crazy.
Jeremy Maclin was a hell of a college football player.
Oh, yeah. Good
he was a very good college football player.
Yeah.
They had. I was going to say Big 12, but they're in the SEC now.
Yeah.
Are they?
Missouri's in the SEC now, right?
Yeah, they're the one team that doesn't belong.
Yeah. We talked about
nowhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Towards ACL, only head coaches known as Andy Reid.
Yeah, let's go.
That's a good clue.
It's a good clue. Yeah.
See, that's where you
because I started sticking to
we
Patriots.
Would never think of Jeremy Maclin. Yeah, I was going through every team like that.
Me too, with the coaches.
I literally been through three: Tomlin, Harbaugh, and Belichick. Is there any more? Is there any more?
Yeah.
All
right, you ready for the next one?
That was like it.
Jeez, we would have never got that.
Mm-mm.
I'm still stuck on that he wasn't a quarterback.
25 is a
solid score.
Is a solid score for a position player. Obviously, you want the
quarterback
to score higher. Yeah.
No, the quarterback isn't going to score a run a 4.3.
No. That would have been a hell of a quarter. That Michael Vick.
What did Brock Osweiler score?
That's not nice. All right, here we go. Next set of clues. Next.
He's from Montana.
Person.
Are you picking on Montana?
I was born in 1988.
Oh, he's my age.
Maybe you're the answer.
Is it Greg Sussman?
It's not Greg Sussman. I'd
like to hear the clues.
I began singing at the age of 7.
Oh.
Justin Bieber.
It's not Justin Bieber.
Bieber's not my age.
In my career, I have released 7 albums.
Wow.
Is it Rihanna?
Greg Sussman is correct. It is Rihanna.
Oh.
Jesus, Greg.
Brock Osweiler had a 25 when the Lick School.
Oh, yeah, same score.
Look at that.
Same score as Jerry Macklin.
But he's a quarterback, though. You see?
That's true.
Quarterback should score 28 and above.
Rihanna, boom, baby.
I've been in 10 movies. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
No.
I was
Lisa
not.
Ann.
10 this week.
Yeah. I was not born in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Barbados.
I've had some famous boyfriends.
Mm-hmm. Drake. Chris Brown.
One known for popping bottles. Which one is that, Scott?
I think I say one known.
Matt Kemp?
Matt Kemp. Yeah. There you go.
I think I say one known for popping me.
That's not
Didn't
nice.
Did she go on with DiCaprio, too?
No,
I think they had a fling.
Really?
I think they had a fling with DiCaprio.
DiCaprio's crazy.
Yeah, DiCaprio's all over. Yeah.
Great.
This year, I'm nominated for 8 Grammys.
She's nominated for 8 Grammys, is it?
My real name is Robin Fenty. Did you know that?
Really? Yeah, I only know that because when Drake gave her that award, she was Robin Fenty. Like,
Robin Fenty.
I didn't know that.
I would keep Rihanna.
One of my nominations is for Record of the Year. What's the name of the song, Scott?
Born in a Hopeless Place.
No. That was
What's the name of the song, Tony?
I have no idea.
And Greg, you know the name of the song.
Work.
Yes, Work is the name of the song. Ready for the next one?
Work. I thought.
We had to go to break.
Maybe another song that didn't work. We'll go to break. How many more you got left, Corey?
I got like 3.
All right, we'll go to break. We'll do some more. Name that player. Stick around. Road to Experts in the Morning continues after this. Back here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Play Name That Player. We got a bunch more to go. Have a little fun here this morning. So hand the reins back over to the Fantasy Station.
All right, it's time to get back into it. Name That Player coming up on the 9 a.m. Eastern hour. Hope everybody's out there getting to work and all of that. Have a wonderful day. Have a better day than me. What is that noise? Oh, that's the music. I'm about to say somebody computer. I wasn't expecting that music. All right, here we go. I'm from Santa Clara, California. I was drafted in 2005.
San Diego, 2005 you drafted.
In my career, I have played for 2 teams. Santa Clara, California. Drafted in 2005. Played for 2 teams in their career. In his or her career. I have made 5 All-Star teams. 5 All-Star appearances in my career. In the postseason, I have 22 runs batted in postseason competition.
Yeah, a lot of baseball players are from Santa Clara. I mean, from California.
So yeah, it makes it tough.
This is tough, but 22 RBIs. We need one more. We need one more clue. We're gonna bang this up.
All right, here we go. I do have a guess. Actually,
so do I.
You want
I have a
more
guess.
Clue?
No, I'll give a guess. Buster Posey.
It is not Buster Posey.
Okay.
He's from Florida, I believe.
He's from Florida. All right.
Yeah.
Two questions. Well, I have 2 questions right here. I'm trying to position which one I should go with first. I have 217 career home runs.
217, which is not huge.
All right, more clues coming. 5 All-Star teams. 22 postseason RBIs, 217 career home runs. drafted in 2005, has played for two teams. The next clue, in 2016.
That was last year.
I played in 131 games.
Great.
Next clue. Mm-mm-mm. Between 2015 and 2016, I have struck out 217 times also.
One more again.
2015 season and 2016 season. If you combine my strikeouts,
right,
the number is 217. All right. The clues will begin to get a little easier.
Thank God.
Matt Holliday?
Hands is not Matt Holliday. Hands on bells. I do not play in America.
Troy Tulowitzki.
Troy Tulowitzki is correct.
Good job, Tony.
Troy Tulowitzki for the 2000. Played 131 games last year, fellas.
Yeah.
Good job. Troy Tulowitzki, Scotty. Yeah. Without Edwin Encarnacion, possibly without Jose Bautista, only Josh Donaldson in there. Where the Tula?
Still one of the top shortstops, but past his prime.
Is he still one of the top shortstops for you, Tony?
Jesus. No. You know, he's one of those guys I wouldn't take a chance on, especially with the order right now in Toronto, not looking as healthy as it's been the last couple games, plus the injury situations there. I would probably not want him as my shortstop.
I would be surprised if he's moved out of Toronto at some point, too.
Really? I thought they're counting on Tulo to, like, bring them to the future with Donaldson.
He never wanted to go there.
Well, he's there now. He doesn't decide.
Oh, yeah, he's not getting out of there yet.
They're gonna unload players. Oh, you
don't? I don't think they are. I'll talk more about Tulo on the other side of the break. I think it's a good conversation. Hour number three comes your way next. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.